There is no one like our God. That has been the theme throughout the worship time that we were able to have. And we believe that we strongly believe the fact that He is the only God. Shema Israel, Adonai Elohim, Elohim Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is your God, the Lord is one. There is no other God. We have meditated upon it last week when we were looking into the book of Deuteronomy. Kind of completed the whole book of Deuteronomy last week. Many truths. The most important part of being able to study the book of Deuteronomy is because Jesus referred to it quite a bit. And I hope we have read through it, meditated upon it personally as well. And remembering Jesus, how much He must have meditated or studied through that book of Deuteronomy so that He could use and refer those scriptures when He was tempted by Satan. We have completed the five books of the Bible and the book of Job as well. So we have completed pretty much the Torah, we call it. Most of the Jewish people still continue to follow only the Torah. Now we are stepping into the next book, another exciting book, which is the book of Joshua. And today, as we start this book of Joshua, may the Lord speak to us through His living word as we read the theme verse taken from the book of Micah. Book of Micah, chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Book of Micah, chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. All together, please. I know this is a little longer scriptural portion, two verses. I request you to please join with me in reading it. If possible, you can read it in any other language. After that, I'll give you an opportunity to read it. Micah chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, all together, please. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery, and I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, devised, what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. Gracious Father, loving God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your kindness. You are a God who declares your word, your whole counsel, from the beginning till the end. You declare the end from the beginning. As we continue meditating on this book of Joshua now, having completed the first five books of the Bible and in the book of Job, we ask you that you may take us through the Bible. Teach us lessons so that we may not only be the hearers of the word, but also the doers of the word. Lord, who are we, Lord? We think we are someone. We think we know something. Lord, but there is so much to learn from your word. So help us to be the learners of the word of God. Help us to be the disciples of the word of God. Disciples of you. So open our eyes, Lord. Our eyes are upon you. Speak, Lord. We want to hear you. Shema, Israel. Yes, Father, we want to hear you. Open our ears as well, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Book of Micah, one of the last books of the Old Testament. Talking about what has happened thus far that we have meditated upon. Book of Exodus, Book of Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Book of Joshua as well. The Word of God is reminding us, in spite of the years and centuries gone by, the Word of God is saying, reminding, I brought you up from the land of Egypt. I redeemed you from the house of slavery. Do we remember how God brought us up from the bondage of sin, the slavery to sin? Have you experienced the redemption of God? Redemption means taking back or purchasing with a price. Oh, my people, remember what Balak, the king of Moab, devised. Numbers chapter 21 to 24 talks about Balak and Balaam, if you remember. I hope you remember. God was reminding the people during the time of Micah. I'm trying to remember and remind each one of us. A few weeks ago, we have meditated upon these as well, Balak and Balaam. And today, we are going to look at the one that is highlighted. What happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord? Just want to give a recap now that we have completed the first five books of the Bible. The book of Genesis is a time when the people of Israel, the sons of Jacob, enter into the land of Egypt. First, one of the sons goes into Egypt, that is Joseph. And slowly and steadily, because of the famine, etc., all the sons of Jacob enter into the land of Egypt. That is towards the end of Genesis, or almost Genesis chapter 46, talks about how the children of Israel travel, around 70 people. And then, till the beginning, first half of the book of Exodus, around 430 years, these people of Israel were in Egypt. Book of Exodus talks about the slavery they were in, because the Pharaoh that came up did not even hear about Joseph. And so he started using this Israelites as slaves. That is how we begin the book of Exodus. And then there is an actual Exodus that happens. They come out of the land of Egypt, that happens in Exodus chapter 12. Around Exodus chapter 12. It says the 14th day of the first month of the first year, the Passover. And from a timeline perspective, they enter into the land of Egypt around 1876 BC, 430 years later, in 1446 BC. That is when they leave Egypt. And it takes around 2 months for them. They travel through the wilderness and they stop at Mount Sinai. At Mount Sinai, they stay there almost a year. Moses goes up and down Mount Sinai twice, 40 days and 40 nights. He brings the law of the Lord and delivers it to the people. And that is how the book of Exodus ends, in Mount Sinai. Book of Leviticus happens just for 1 month. What has happened for 1 month is recorded in the book of Leviticus, talking about the various offerings that were supposed to be done. And in the book of Numbers, it talks about the second year, first year, the second month. They are still in Mount Sinai. Sometime in Numbers chapter 10, they leave Mount Sinai and they go into Kadesh Barnea. And in the wilderness, they spend almost close to 38 years. And then after that, in the book of Numbers, they move on to the plains of Moab. Sihon, Og, the king of Bashan, if you remember those kings. It all talks about that at the plains of Moab, just on the east side of the Jordan River. So the overall period of time is 40 years. If you see the short portion of the scriptures where it is 430 years, silent years of 400 years, but the 40 years were detailed mentioned throughout the book of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So 40 years later, it is 1406 BC, and the book of Joshua begins there, and it talks about the 10th day, the first month, in the following year, which is the 41st year, they are in the promised land. So this particular book of Joshua has happened around 1406 BC. Around 1400 years before Christ, this particular incidents have happened. Just to give you an idea that this God, whom God has chosen in the book of Genesis, He redeemed them in the book of Exodus. He sanctified them in the book of Leviticus. He guided them. He guided them. He directed them in the book of Numbers. He reminded them in the book of Deuteronomy. And He's going to give them possession in the book of Joshua. He's fulfilling that promise that He gave to Abraham in the book of Genesis, as recorded in the book of Joshua. So far, the biblical period, the biblical land in the entire world map, if you see, this is how it looks. Mesopotamia, this is the place the book of Genesis is recorded in. The land of Ur, the Garden of Eden, and the various rivers that pass through the Garden of Eden. River Euphrates, River Tigris, and others, other rivers, they are all in the land of Mesopotamia. A very fertile land. And then there is, from the land of Ur, Abraham travels all the way to a place called Haran. And then he travels from there to the land of Canaan. God tells him that you are going to occupy this land. At a later point of time, your children are going to come and reoccupy the land. When there was a famine, Abraham goes to Egypt. Even Isaac, he goes to somewhere in the Philistine area. And then Jacob, to run away from his brother, he runs away from Canaan to Haran and comes back. And one of the sons of Jacob, Joseph, is sold and he was sent to Egypt. And from Egypt, after 430 years, they traveled down through the Red Sea. And then in the wilderness, they spent time. And then finally, they come to the land of Canaan. This is a story so far. But these are the major places if you want to think about. This Great Sea is also called the Mediterranean Sea. Egypt, Red Sea, these are all real places. River Euphrates is here. River Nile is here. The wilderness, wilderness of Sin, wilderness of Sinai. They're all there, Mount Sinai as well. If you read Joshua chapter 1 and verse 4, the word of God is telling, from the wilderness, and this Lebanon, Mount Lebanon, and all up there in the northern part of Canaan, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. This is what God has promised. The land that God has promised, that was a promise that was given to Abraham. And this was the land, as much as possible, towards the river Euphrates. They don't occupy the entire land to start with. But at the time of King David, there was a much portion of this particular land that was occupied, and we will look at it at a later point of time. I just wanted to show you a picture from the Google map today. The same things, the Mediterranean Sea, the blue on the left, the Red Sea is still there. And this particular thing is Persian Gulf. If you see here, this small blue part is the Persian Gulf. Persian Gulf. And then this small blue part on the top is the Caspian Sea. These are all there. They are real geographically. And these are the current countries that are there. Egypt, Cairo, Israel, Jordan, Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Kuwait, Iran. These are all the places. This is the biblical area, Mesopotamia, Canaan, Egypt. These are all the real places, my dear. This is today's map. And these people of Israel were entering into the land. And when they were entering into the land, this picture I might have shown you before as well. This is the Dead Sea or the Salt Sea and Sea of Galilee. And the one that connects both of them is the Jordan River. On the east of Jordan River, the Edomites, Moabites in the worship time also. We were looking at it, how the land of Judah or the kingdom of Judah was attacked by the Moabites, Ammonites. You know, you see that? All these people are right here. They have come and invaded them. And during the time of Moses, they occupied this land on the east side. And now they are right here at this particular point of time. You can't see the letters. So let me try to show you in another format. Very clearly, removing everything else, this is the area that we are going to meditate upon. Even the New Testament also focuses on this particular area. Sea of Galilee on the north, Dead Sea, and Jordan River that connects both of them. The Mediterranean Sea, and Mount Nebo is a place when we ended the book of Deuteronomy. Mount Nebo, when Moses was taken onto the mount and given him an opportunity to have a clear eyesight to see the promised land. And that is how the book of Deuteronomy ends. Moses dies, and now these people are still in the plains of Moab in a place called Shittim. The word Shittim means acacia woods. Troubles, in other words. Another way of being able to talk about. They are here. And there is Gilgal on the other side, which is close to Jericho, which is another city in the promised land. God is reminding through this particular verse in Micah chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, what happened from Shittim to Gilgal. What happened from Shittim to Gilgal. And the one that connects the Sea of Galilee and Dead Sea is the Jordan River. So what happened from Shittim to Gilgal includes one more line here, which is the Jordan River. The word Jordan means descending. The water flowing down from the Sea of Galilee, down south into the Dead Sea. Jordan River, Jordan means descender. Today we are going to quickly look through the first five chapters of the book of Joshua. One of the key verses that you and I can take it is from Joshua chapter 1 and verse 11. Joshua 1, 1, 1. Please join with me. It is there on your sermon notes as well on the bottom. Please read it along with me, this particular verse, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 11, all together, please. Pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go in to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. Please read it in any other language, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 11. Yes. So now, there are three words that I want us to underline in this particular verse, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 11. Please do that as I show you. The three words. Prepare your provisions. For within 3 days, you are to pass over this Jordan to go in to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. So please note it down in your sermon notes. The 3 points I'm giving you ahead of time. The 3 points. What are those 3 points? Prepare, pass over, and possess. That is what the sermon is all about. We are done? Almost. These are the 3 points, if I may, from the first 5 chapters of Joshua. Prepare, pass over, and possess. What happened from Shittim to Gilgal? In Shittim, they were preparing. In Jordan, they were passing over or crossing over. In Gilgal, they started possessing. That is the first 5 chapters. Actually, a whole book, if I may. This is the theme verse for the whole book of Joshua. Where they prepared themselves, they crossed over or passed over, and they possessed the land. And today, we are quickly going to go over these three. Prepare the first 2 chapters. Passover, 3rd chapter and the first half of chapter 4. And possess the second half of chapter 4 until chapter 5. This is what we can structure these 5 chapters. And may the Lord enable us to read through this particular portion of the scriptures. Please join with me in the book of Joshua chapter 1. Wonderful book. Wonderful book. As many times as you meditate upon it, God gives us clear lenses in order to be able to look at it carefully in a different angle and to focus upon this particular book as well. It came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. The Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Moses, my servant is dead. So this particular situation is a very, this particular chapter begins with a sorrowful situation, if I may. Moses is dead. A great leader who brought the people out of the land of Egypt, as recorded in the book of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That man is dead. God himself is telling, Moses is dead. We don't want to talk about death. But this particular book starts with death. But that is not the end of it. It talks about the newness of what is happening here. Arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, foot is quite repeatedly used in this particular chapters. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you. God has promised to give the land, but these people have to step into the land. They have to put their foot in the land in order to be able to possess the land. God has given to them, but they have to go and possess the land. For them to possess the land, they have to take the steps of faith in order to be able to go. God has provided the blessings, but these people have to be able to experience that by stepping out from where they are, by stepping out from Shittim and to enter into Gilgal. Shittim to Gilgal is what we are looking at. And here we see that probably Joshua was going through some fear in his life. Till such time, the man of God, Moses, was alive. Moses was the leader. He was taking care of all these people in spite of their rebellion, complaining, and grumbling, and murmurings. But Moses was there. He was always there. But the moment that leader is gone, and this person has to take up the next level leadership, probably he might be going, will these people accept me? Will these people take my leadership after Moses has gone? As long as Moses was there, I was standing beside him. Now Moses is gone. Now what? Probably he was going through fear in his life. Probably. That is why God had to clearly speak to Joshua multiple times about his preparation to lead these people. So in verse 6, he says, be strong and courageous. Note it down. The first and foremost from a preparation perspective is to be strong and courageous. There is something that is going to happen. But for you to be able to face the challenges ahead of you, you might be going through fear in your heart of hearts. But God, in terms of preparation, he's saying, be strong and courageous. Not once, but also it says, even in verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Second time, he repeats saying that. And also in verse 9, he says, have I not commanded you? It's a commandment. Be strong and courageous. For you to prepare yourself, you need to be strong. There are many things, many challenges that you're going to come across in the promised land. But you be strong and courageous. Three times, verse 6, verse 7, verse 9, reminding to be strong and courageous. We may be going through weakness in our lives today. We may be going through challenges which are causing us so much of weakness. Sometimes physical weakness, sometimes emotional weakness, sometimes spiritual weakness, where we are unable to be strong. Today, God is reminding you and I, as part of your preparation, more than the things that you need to take along with you from Shittim to Gilgal, you need to be strong and courageous. Are you going through some weakness right now in your life? Are you going through some situation in your life where you are unable to be strong enough to tackle the challenges that are ahead of you? The word of God is reminding you and I to be strong and courageous. Not only did God speak these words from verses 6, 7, and 9, later when Joshua talks to these people of Israel, they respond to Joshua in verse 18. You know what they say? Joshua chapter 1 and verse 18. Let us see. Anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. If at all you want to give a title to the chapter 1 of Joshua, that would be be strong and courageous. It is an encouragement, my dear. Courage. Encourage. Maybe you are going through discouragement. God is telling you to be strong and courageous. You know how you can become strong and courageous? You can become strong and courageous. Verse 7. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to the law which Moses my servant commanded you. You do not turn from it to the right or to the left so that you may have success wherever you go. How can you be strong and courageous? If you are careful to obey the word of God. Not to turn from it to the right or to the left. Lord, yes, I understand that, but how about this side? How can I try to look at your word and try to align to my situation and try to modify a little bit here and there to the left or to the right? No! You obey the word of God. This book of the law shall be in your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Be careful to do according to all that is written. Verse 8. You become strong and courageous if you are careful to obey the word of God. You prepare yourself for the battles ahead of you only if you obey the word of God. Obeying the word of God enables you to be strong and courageous. Book of Joshua can be correlated as a parallel book to the book of Ephesians. You read the book of Ephesians in conjunction with the book of Joshua, you will really appreciate the word of God. Book of Joshua is talking about physical battles. Book of Ephesians is talking about spiritual battles. Book of Joshua talks about how to be preparing yourself to face the battles ahead of you and to be victorious. Book of Ephesians talks about how you should prepare yourself to face the battles against the unseen forces of darkness and principalities of powers. Book of Joshua talks about the promises of inheritance. Book of Ephesians starts with the promises of spiritual blessings in heavenly places through Christ Jesus our Lord, an inheritance that we are given forever in eternity. But you need to be able to receive them and to possess them in order to be able to experience the blessings of God. There was a land that was promised in the book of Joshua. There is a promise, eternity, that is promised for us in the book of Ephesians. Joshua chapter 1 talks about be strong and courageous. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Please read Ephesians chapter 6. And verse 10, very familiar verse. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. What does it say? Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Read the book of Joshua in conjunction with the book of Ephesians. Because the book of Joshua talks about the spiritual battles that are mentioned in Ephesians. Be strong and how you should prepare yourself. Putting on the full armor of God to prepare yourself to fight against the enemy that is ahead of you. But he starts off with saying, be strong. Be strong. That is very important, my dear. And how you will be able to do that during the course of the book of Joshua, we will see through it. That is chapter 1. Joshua chapter 2. Let's move on. Joshua chapter 2 talks about how Joshua sends two spies into the promised land to go view the land. And probably you might know the story, otherwise you can go and read through it. Then they go to the house of Rahab, a harlot. And then Rahab, she hides these people. Rahab hides these two spies in her house and enables these people to silently leave the place and go back to Joshua. And during the course of time, Rahab talks about the Jehovah God. It talks about her faith in this Jehovah God. More than obeying the kings of this world, she obeyed the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Jehovah God. Though her profession was not a kind of a profession that is acceptable, God still loves such kind of people who have faith in him so that he will rescue them and deliver them. Rahab was in the lineage of Jesus Christ, as mentioned in the book of Matthew. Rahab is in the lineage of King David. How Boaz was born in that family and finally through Ruth and then all the way to Jesus as well. God chose the mean people of this world and changed them in order to be able to be using them in his lineage as well. Rahab's story talks about it. And as we see here, you know how she was saved from destruction when later these people of Israel invade Jericho. She says, "You remember me and my family when you come and try to occupy this land." And to that, these two spies speak wonderful word to Rahab in verse 18. You know what they say? "Unless when we come into the land, you tie this cord of scarlet thread in the window through which you let us down and gather to yourself into this house, your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household." If you are in that particular house, note it down, not only be strong and courageous, but also bind the scarlet cord. Be strong, courageous, bind scarlet cord. Bind the scarlet cord. These people, while they were in Shittim, they went all the way to Jericho and was preparing Rahab and her family members. And the way in which Rahab and her family members are going to be prepared to be delivered is by tying or binding a scarlet cord on the window. And when these people come and see in that on that window a scarlet cord that is flowing down, they will pass through that house and everyone in that house will be saved. That is what had to be a preparation for Rahab and her household as such. And that is how God prepared her while these people were still in Shittim. And then when they come back in verse 23, Joshua chapter 2 and verse 23, "These two men returned and came down from the hill country and crossed over, came to Joshua the son of Nun, and they related to him all that had happened. They said to Joshua," notice this, "surely or truly the Lord has given all the land into our hands. Moreover, all the inhabitants of the land have melted away from us." They got a confirmation. While they were preparing themselves, they sent two spies. They prepared Rahab and family on the other side. And they came back and they were so well prepared because they became strong now. They became strong to the extent of being able to say, "Truly, truly, the Lord has given all the land. Truly, the Lord has given all the land into our hands." Now let us get into the third chapter. The first portion of the third chapter, how they are going to pass over Jordan. Pass over Jordan. The first and foremost thing is in verse 5. Notice this carefully. It says, "Then Joshua said to the people, 'Consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you.'" So note it down. Consecrate and see wonders. Consecrate or sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. For you to be able to see God's wonders, the miracles of God in your life, the way God is proving to be faithful in your life, how you became strong and courageous, you need to consecrate yourselves. Consecrate yourself or sanctify yourself, cleanse yourself. You need to cross this Jordan, but before that, you need to consecrate yourselves to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves or sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Just as we meditated during the worship time, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You need not fight in this battle. Stand still, But tomorrow, the Lord is going to fight in this battle for you. We don't know what is tomorrow going to be for you. What your tomorrow holds. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. We don't know what is in store for us tomorrow. But today, you and I are called to sanctify ourselves or cleanse ourselves or consecrate ourselves. Lord, I am getting into the promised land. I want you to help me consecrate myself, sanctify. Is there anything that is bothering in my life? Please consecrate me and take this away. The land of Shittim, the camp, this is the last camp of the people of Israel throughout the 40 years of their journey. They camped at multiple places. The last camp that they had at Shittim was recorded in Numbers chapter 25. Numbers chapter 25 is a very sad chapter in terms of the way in which these people were living in the land of Shittim. They crossed the Red Sea. God gave them manna. God gave them the law. They were going through the wilderness. They went through 40 years of wilderness experience. They were at Shittim. But you know what was their life? Numbers chapter 25 and verse 1. When Israel remained at Shittim, the people began to play the harlot with the daughters of Moab. They were living an immoral life at Shittim. They claimed to be the people of God. They claimed to have crossed the Red Sea. They have claimed to experience the manna from God. But their life has always been a defeated life. Numbers chapter 25 reminds us that there are times when we are still weak in our flesh. Shittim reminds us of the carnality of a believer, carnality of a Christian who calls himself a Christian. We are right now meditating the book of the first letter of Paul to Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and chapter 3 talks about carnality. If you have not been part of the Bible study, please do join us. There's so much we are learning about carnality. Shittim is a reminder of carnality that these people are in. They claim to be called the people of God, but their life is immoral. They say that they have crossed through. Oh, we are the children of God. But their life is a defeated life. For you to enter into the promised land at Gilgal, you need to consecrate yourself. Come out of this kind of a behavior and life. The secret sins that we are living in, the attitude that we still have, even though we are calling ourselves as believers, sometimes the way in which we are living out is not reflecting the way in which God intends us to be. Carnality is prevalent in the Christians, among the Christians, because they give more importance to flesh. They think, what is it for me? I am the one. I get the credit. People should come and wish me, or people should give me the credit for things that I need to do. Many things, many times we tend to think ourselves of something great, or we tend to complain, grumble. The people of Israel, their life, the 40 years of life in the wilderness, is representative of carnality. Let me tell you. They were so carnal that they were looking after the blessings or physical needs more than God is the one who is with me. He's the one who's providing me the manna. His presence is there with me. No, they were grumbling, complaining. Carnality is prevalent. Shittim reminds us of that. You need to have Jordan crossing experience to live a victorious life. You might have had a Red Sea crossing experience. You might say, oh, are you baptized? Yes, brother, I'm baptized. But did you have a Jordan crossing experience yet in your life? If you did not have a Jordan crossing experience in your life, you are still in the wilderness living in carnality. Still in carnality. Jordan crossing is talking about asking God to fill us with His presence and His with His Spirit, so much so to be conquerors, to be victorious people. A lot of times people think Jordan crossing is dying and getting into heaven. But if that is the case, then why are there so many battles in the promised land that they have to fight against? Are there battles in heaven? No. There are no battles in heaven. Jordan crossing experience is an experience that you and I need to have to live a victorious life. If you see, later on we will meditate on the book of Joshua. How many victories they had gone through in their lives to possess the promised land. They just couldn't just walk and get it. They had to fight against the enemies. And they had to be victorious against the enemies. For that, you need to consecrate yourselves. You need to sanctify yourselves. If you are still living in Shittim, God is reminding each one of us, come out of Shittim. Move out of Shittim. Prepare yourself. Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3, verse 9. Please read, anyone. Please note it down. Come here and hear the words. Come here and hear the words of the Lord your God, Shema. Here, H-E-A-R is Shema. We were reminded even during the time of Deuteronomy. Come here. You consecrate yourself, but you need to come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. Oh, brother, I'll be there somewhere far off. I'll hear from there. Come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. In certain situations, when we cannot travel, that is fine. But it's always good to come together and hear the word of God, which enables us to consecrate ourselves and to see wonders that what God will do tomorrow. Come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. And this particular story talks about how the priests who were holding on to the Ark of the Covenant, the moment they put their feet on the water, when they get their feet wet, that is when it will part and dry ground will be there and they will pass over or cross through the Jordan River. Again, foot. Every place you put your foot, that will be your land. The place, the priest, when you put your foot onto the Jordan River, a miracle will happen. God will part the Jordan River, just as He parted the Red Sea, and you will walk on the dry ground. And God enabled it to happen. And while they were going through that, chapter 3 talks about it, that these people had to take 12 stones. They had to take 12 stones in chapter 4. And in chapter 4, we see here that on verse 19, let us now jump into verse 19. Joshua chapter 4 and verse 19. Yes, the east border of Jericho, there's a place called Gilgal. So please note it down. Under Gilgal, there is one verse. Raise memorial stones. Raise memorial stones. At Gilgal, verse 20, those 12 stones which they had taken from Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. This is their first camp in the promised land. The last camp in the 40 years journey is Shittim. The first camp in the promised land is Gilgal. These names you will hear very often. We are going to relook at Gilgal. Many things have happened at Gilgal. We will revisit Gilgal during the time of Elisha and Elijah, okay? Just remember that. Gilgal is a wonderful place where God has shown His his power and his faithfulness to this people at Gilgal. At Gilgal, they raised memorial stones to remember what God has done. Verse 21, he said to the sons of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in the time to come, what are these stones? Then you shall inform your children saying, Israel crossed this Jordan on dry ground. What a wonderful miracle it is. Consecrate yourself, for tomorrow you will see the wonders of the Lord. And this was a wonder of the Lord, that they crossed Jordan on dry ground and they raised 12 stones as a memorial. Verse 23, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan before you until you have crossed, just as the Lord your God had done to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, so that you may fear the Lord your God forever. All this while, when they were wandering in the wilderness, probably they did not really experience the fear of God as much as they had to. They had to experience the Red Sea crossing, or through their fathers, how they crossed the Red Sea. But also they had to experience the Jordan River crossing. While the first Passover reminds us of the salvation experience of a person's spiritual life starting, Red Sea crossing is a symbolism of the baptism of a person. Jordan crossing is a rededication of a person to live a victorious life. To live a victorious life, you need to experience Jordan crossing in your life. Did you have the Jordan crossing experience? Did you consecrate yourself to the Lord? Come here and hear the words of God. Lord, I want to remember all the wonders you have done in my life. Forget not any of his benefits. Are you telling your children what God has done in your life? Did you tell your children how you were saved? How God saved you, delivered you, redeemed you? Do you have a memorial stones, milestones, or only pictures? Oh, this one was when you were born. This is good, wonderful. Have you shared your experience of salvation to your own children if you had one? Gilgal is an experience where you can share with your children what God has done. Chapter 5. Not only did they raise memorial stones at Gilgal, but they also went through circumcision. Because they were not circumcised during the 40 years in the wilderness time, they had to go through circumcision because they were born during the wilderness. They did not experience circumcision back in Egypt that they were in. So they had to go through circumcision. Circumcision is a reminder of taking away or removing the things that God wants us to be removed as per the Old Testament mechanism. So this circumcision reminds us of something that you and I need to learn. Verse 9. Somebody, Joshua chapter 5 and verse 9. Gilgal means rolling. Galgal, it rolls. That's what it actually means. Gilgal means rolling. Please read in any other language. Verse 9. Gilgal means rolled away. I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Note it down. The last point here. Rolled away the reproach at Gilgal. Reproach. The word reproach, it means a cause or an occasion for blame or shame or disgrace. Reproach means blame, shame, or disgrace. Avamanam, I think we just read through it. Something, a shame, being shameful of. God rolled away the reproach of Egypt from them. When I was reading through it, really caught my attention. Rolled away the reproach. The people of Israel came out from Egypt, but God had to take away Egypt from the people. They came out of Egypt, but Egypt was still in them. God had to take Egypt out of them. Coming out of Egypt is one wonderful experience. People say, I'm saved. Oh, I'm born again. Wonderful. But are you victorious over sin? Is Egypt still in you? God wants to roll away the reproach of Egypt from you. Take away that Egypt from you. You came out of Egypt, but Egypt is not out of you yet. That is why we live in carnality. The flesh dominates our spirit. And that is why there are so many problems in homes and churches and every place is because of carnality. Carnality and spirituality. There are three kinds of people in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 3. Natural man, carnal man, and spiritual man. Natural man is the one who's not born again. He's just born like that. He's just like that. And once he's born again, he can either be a carnal man or a spiritual man. If he feeds his flesh, he'll be a carnal man. But if he relies on the Spirit of God, he's a spiritual man. Read the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and the beginning of chapter 3. Talks about three men. Natural man, carnal man, and spiritual man. Shittim reminds us of carnal man. God wants to take away the reproach of Egypt from the people, so that they may be victorious and they be spiritual man in Gilgal. Carnality to spirituality is a journey from Shittim to Gilgal. What a wonderful portion of the scriptures that we see here. And that is how they lived in the land of Gilgal. Verse 10. While the sons of Israel camped at Gilgal, they observed the Passover on the evening of the 14th day of the month on the desert plains of Jericho. On the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. The manna ceased on the day after they had eaten some of the produce of the land. God took care of their daily bread. Throughout the 40 years of their journey in the wilderness, God provided them the manna. Now that they are in Gilgal, they are able to eat some of the produce of the land. They will now see the produce of the land and they will eat of it. So the manna ceased. God is giving them the produce of the land to enjoy the benefits of entering into the land filled with milk and honey. In other words, to be able to see the produce from the land. And that is when the manna ceased. Just three verses I want us to read. The last three verses of Joshua chapter 5. Wonderful verses. This is the beginning of what is going to happen in the future verses. Joshua chapter 5 verses 13, 14 and 15 is like a ring between chapter 5 and the future chapters. Now it came about when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? He said, no, rather I indeed come as a captain of the host of the Lord. I rather come as a captain of the host of the Lord. Joshua, you are thinking that you are the captain of this army? Let me tell you, I am the captain of the host of the Lord. The commander-in-chief is none other than God himself. In the Old Testament, Jesus' appearances were there, and this is one of them. Though Jesus came as a human being in the New Testament period, Jesus existed even before that through himself revealing as an angel of the Lord or the commander of the host of the Lord. How can you say that this is God himself and not an angel? Because Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down. In all other instances, when somebody bowed down to an angel, angel immediately says, don't do that. Worship God. But this is one incident when Joshua fell down and bowed down towards that host, the captain of the host. He allowed him to do that because he's God himself who appeared to Joshua. Verse 15, the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. I did some comparison between Moses' story and Joshua's story. And I tried to put some, at least from these first five chapters, there are many more, but from a first five chapters perspective, let us just try to compare. They may not be in that sequence, but the incidents are very similar incidents. Let's just go over it. Holy ground experience with the Lord. Burning bush. Moses had that. And where he said, take off your sandals, for the ground where you're standing on is a holy ground. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 5. Holy ground experience with the Lord. Joshua chapter 5 and verse 15. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you're standing is holy. These are two incidents in the scriptures which talk about the holy ground experience. Why, brother? Why should we take out your sandals? Why can't we keep our sandals? Lot of controversies. But let me tell you, if you have reverence towards the Lord, you can do that. You can leave your shoes right there where you're sitting also. That is not what matters. But all that matters is to show forth our reverence to the Lord. There are many things externally we show our reverence to the Lord. Sometimes by taking off your shoes. Sometimes you're covering your head. And different ways in which the Bible talks about. It talks about your reverence to the Lord. Your reverence to the Lord. Nothing else. Oh, why? What about that church? Why don't they do it? Why does this church do it? Why do women cover their heads? Why do people take off your sandals? Let me ask you one thing. Do you have the reverence towards the Lord? If you have the reverence towards the Lord, I think that is the most important one. And if you want to show that through what has happened in the scriptures, feel free to do that. These two men, they took off their sandals because God said, this is the holy ground. Those women in the New Testament, Paul said, cover your heads. So what matters is your relationship with the Lord towards the reverence towards him. Humbly bowing down towards him to the point of giving whole honor and glory unto him. And that is how people were doing it. Culturally, this is how it is. I'm not here to argue it. And that is why we don't tend to force. But it is your conviction that matters more than people's forcing. Do you see that? It is not about forcing, but to be able to be convicted through the Spirit of the Lord, to say, Lord, I want to do it. Not, I was told to do it. Moses and Joshua had holy ground experience. Certainly I will be with you at the burning bush. Joshua 1:5, as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. Blood on the doorposts, post Passover. And bind the scarlet cord in the window. The scarlet is like a red color thing. That is also, when they pass through that, they pass over that house because there's a scarlet cord in their window. Cross the Red Sea on dry land, cross the Jordan River on dry land. Moses sent 12 spies, only two of them brought the good report. Joshua sent two spies and both of them brought good report. Maybe that's why Joshua wanted only two people. There's no point in sending the remaining 10 because one of those two was Joshua himself. All that matters is to be able to believe in the God. These are some similarities. The word Joshua means salvation of the Lord. Numbers chapter 13. Moses changes his name from Hoshea to Joshua. Hoshea means salvation. Yehoshea means Jehovah saves. And that is the name that was given to Jesus Christ. He's a symbolism. He's a foreshadow of what Jesus Christ would do to be able to give victory. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. Just as Joshua helped these people to be victorious, Jesus is with us to be victorious. So this rolled away the reproach. Finally, I want us to close with this particular verses, which are a representation of the reproach that you and I go through in our lives as well. Please join with me in reading the scriptural portions in conclusion. All together, please. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34, all together. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Sin is a reproach. When you think about reproach, it is sin that is being talked about in the scriptures. Sin is a reproach to any people. Joshua chapter 5 verse 9, all together please. Then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. So the name of that place is called Gilgal to this day. Romans chapter 15 verses 3 and 4. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproach of those who reproach you fell on me. For whatever was written in the earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. The reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Psalm chapter 69, I think it's verse 9. Christ Jesus took the reproaches of you and I, and it fell upon him. He did not please himself. He took the reproach of you and I, the sin of you and I. It fell upon him. He became sin for us, though he knew no sin. He gave his life for us on the cross of Calvary. He did not please himself. These are written for our instruction. What happened between Shittim and Gilgal is for our instruction, for your instruction and my instruction. Are you still at Shittim? How many years has it been since you're still at Shittim? Maybe you have gone through Red Sea crossing experience, or maybe you're not. Red Sea crossing experience is a baptism experience after being saved. But Jordan crossing experience is a rededication in asking God to fill us with his Holy Spirit of God, so much so that we can be victorious with the power that is given unto us. Are we leading defeated lives, or are we leading victorious lives? Have you crossed Jordan yet? Have you crossed Jordan yet? That is a question. If not, you can cross now. Maybe we are living in carnality all these days. What is it for me? What is it for me? Looking at people, looking at personal benefits. God is saying, it's not about it. Live a spiritual life. Spirit-driven life enables us to be victorious in our lives. We will see all those victories going forward in the next couple of weeks. The victories in the promised land because of the crossing of the Jordan into the promised land. May the Lord bless this word.